Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
How's it feel to be a winner? Feels good to be a winner.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. What you just heard, that's what a loser says. They put on their team wins a game, they put on a jersey and come to work the next day in the jersey.
I'm a winner. Yeah, I'm a winner. I'm not spiteful little brother to you who just comes in and jabs. And obviously, Harry, a Braves fan, we're right there in a good position.
Wait, Jay's feeling like a million. You got a Yankees and a Braves fan in studio, and then the Mets just beat the Yanks.
It's a good day. I appreciate you, showing up to work today, looking like a million bucks, myself as well.
He's wearing penny loafers. What do you mean looking like a million bucks? He has a nice little collar shirt.
What does Jay Will have on?
What kind of loafers are they, is the question.
What does Jay Will have on right now, Max? He has on a Mets jersey with a hoodie. Huh? A Mets jersey with a hoodie.
First off, Harry Douglas, the only reason your ass is wearing a suit is because you have to do First Take after the show. Don't lie.
Correct.
He looked like
from Czar.
Jay looks like he's about made.
Well, this is the only suit that I own that is not tailor-made. The only one.
Excuse me. Harry's ready to be a productive member of society. Jay's going ready to rob someone in Queens. With the black hoodie under the Mets jersey.
So now if you're wearing a black hoodie, you're robbing some people. Be careful. Be careful, hey, Max.
Max about to get canceled. Cancel culture.
Let's get him, people.
Cancel culture is about to get him.
See, Harry, if it was a white jersey, that would be okay.
We should not be joking around.
You can't make a joke now about anything. So the Mets really ruined my day, my whole day today.
Especially the way that first inning started off, I was getting worried.
Oh, I thought the
Rizzo
Yankees
and Judge,
had this.
I'm like, solo home runs. I'm like, oh, this is not good.
See, if it's a Yankees-Red Sox game, I know no matter what happens early, you might be there for 5 hours. It might go 15 innings. You could have a 10-0 lead. You never know. But Yankees-Mets, when the Yankees jump on them like that, I'm like, ah, this thing's over.
By the way, 42,000. I mean, it was. I know, Harry, you were at the game last night. It felt like World Series vibes last night watching it from my house. I can't imagine what it was.
That's because that's the closest you're going to get to the World Series as a Mets fan.
Hey, look, slow down, man. Slow down. Y'all ain't just like written in stone to be in the World Series now.
Do you know, I got to be honest, Harry. The reason my day is shot is now the Yankees probably aren't going to have the most wins of all time. They barely have the best record in baseball. This is outrageous. All because of the Mets.
This is hilarious. But I had a great time last night, man. I seen a few fights in the stands, which was remarkable. Mm. Crowd was electric. City Field. I got to give it up to him, Jay. That feel is amazing.
It's different.
Man. It's amazing.
Were they good fights? Now,
it's not Truist Park that we have in Atlanta, but it was nice. It was nice. I don't think there's a bad seat in that ballpark.
Y'all coming up being World Series champs. I can't say nothing.
Oh, no, I know you can. You know what I mean? It's okay. And we got your ass like white on rice.
Yeah,
We're coming for you.
But you behind
us. So you're lucky you won last night, Jay.
How's the ass smell?
I don't know if we can say that.
Well, he said we on y'all. Okay, anyway.
But I will say this. The Yankees last night, and I'm not taking anything away from the Mets, because they hit the ball, they made contact. I can't say Walker, pitching-wise, was phenomenal, but he did enough to get the job done, and I think the defense...
Yankees should have won that game, man. Rizzo to the deepest part of the outfield.
No, Max, let me finish, though. Situational baseball. Mm-hmm. We talk about situational football, situations in basketball, but situational baseball was terrible for the Yankees last night.
Walker picked him off on first.
You have a first and third with Isaiah one out, and you get picked off. On first base. You have the bases loaded.
And by the way, IKF is a heads-up player. That's not a typical play for him. Everyone now and then gets a brain freeze.
Bases loaded now. Baseball one-on-one. Walker had threw four balls to Aaron Judge, three balls to Anthony Rizzo, and you swing on 3-0? Mm. Now, I'm taking my chances 3-1. I'm not taking my chances 3-0. I'm going to make you throw me a strike because in the last seven pitches, you showed me that you couldn't. Granted, it almost was a grand slam, but almost doesn't count. Mm-hmm. Almost doesn't count.
The Yankees had a lot of chances, and there were critical moments where the ball didn't bounce their way, and the Mets made plays. By the way, throw to first base, you hit the runner,
By Donaldson, that was horrible. Then you had a first and second with Aaron Judge on second, and you steal, and then he gets thrown out. Not Aaron Judge, but whoever was on first base, I can't remember, gets thrown out, and now it's two outs, and then the next batter pops out, and the inning's over. They had opportunities. They just didn't capitalize. But I got to give credit to the Mets because they didn't fold when the Yankees had the opportunity.
Know what the Mets have?
Diaz came strong down the close, too.
The Mets have a dude you can
bring out of the bullpen for four outs, and he strikes out every guy he faces.
Listen to me.
Max, your bullpen was better, though. I mean, they kept you guys. I mean, they're keeping you guys in games, obviously.
The bullpen's been awesome all year, and then they just been hurt.
But Chapman was better last night, too, which is a good sign for you guys.
Diaz is the best closer in the game right now.
Agreed.
And when they said Edwin Diaz was coming in. I was like, why the hell everybody got the trumpet?
Yeah.
And everybody in the stands.
Hey, whippa.
Listen, I seen an old man with a water bottle like this, right? I seen an old man. But they put him on the big screen. I said, oh, Pop's into it. He's really into it.
God, I hate the Mets. Daryl Strawberry throws out the first pitch in a Mets jersey.
Yeah, you know what time it is. How long have you been a Yankees fan?
Literally since I can remember. Like, man, I remember being...
Never seen you in any of their promotional stuff, but last night I was in...
Well, I'm not 7 years old. I wear, you know, normal clothing to work.
You don't wear any Yankees apparel.
Yeah, you're the only... When would you see me in Yankees apparel?
You're the only Yankees fan I know, and all my boys are diehard Yankees fan. I never see you wear any...
What kind of Yankees apparel should I be wearing?
A jacket... Any anything that says Yankees.
You want me in a starter jacket with the Yankees thing?
No,
what am I, 11?
You rock fresh stuff all the time. You can't tell me you can't rock an old school like Yankees bomber to work one day. Like, yo, this is my squad. You don't rock anything Yankees at all.
When I come
back up
there,
I'm
wearing my Braves. You don't even have a Yankees hat in your office.
Jay, look at this head of hair. Look at this head of hair. Why would I put a hat on?
You could present a hat in your office.
Jay has a hat for every day of the week. I don't wear hats for obvious reasons.
My black is bold is beautiful, baby.
Why does Jay have a hat for every day of the week?
I'm secure. I know what time it is.
This is the first time I've seen Jay's head in 2 months.
I know what time it is.
Don't put no hat over that milk. Do it.
Yeah, that's right, baby. It looks sexy.
Listen, this is a typical Mets fan, Jay. New to the game, new to the sport. Hop on the Mets, the new thing in town.
Now, here's a typical Yankees fan.
And wears a Mets jersey after a win, right?
No,
to work.
I only wore it for
Boo.
You. I'm snobby. We won championships in the 20s.
We have
27. That's who you guys are.
Do you realize Daryl Strawberry, the greatest Mets slugger of all time, throws out the first pitch for the Mets? He had played almost his entire career with the Mets, all his best seasons.
Salty.
He won as many championships with the Yankees as he did with the Mets, played at the very end. He was on two teams that won the World Series on the Yankees, only on one on the Mets.
Like I said, it feels great to be a winner.
Guess what,
Max?
What's that?
You know who the Yankees could have used last night? Giancarlo Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
His absence really showed up last night in that lineup. Like, I mean, big time.
It's still almost fun. I mean, listen, Rizzo hit it to the warning track.
Yeah, but almost doesn't count, Max. Well, you don't swing 3-0 with the bases loaded and the pitcher have thrown 7 straight balls. That's baseball 1-on-1.
Except that he figures, I'm going to get a good pitch to hit.
Buck Showalter.
What a hitter is thinking
good
in that moment, as you know, is like, I'm just looking for something in my zone.
Baseball was my best sport, Max. What the hitter's thinking.
Way to get the best of Aaron Boone.
Hold on. This is a real question. If baseball was your best sport, which I believe, why would you play in the NFL?
I love football.
You're tiny enough to play baseball.
What position you play in baseball?
Left field and shortstop.
You were a shortstop? Could you hit?
You were a shortstop?
You were a shortstop who could hit? And obviously fast if you played in the NFL.
Harry, how come you're not looking at me?
I don't want to look at you, Jay.
Did I say something wrong?
I'm small enough to play baseball.
I saw Aaron Judge outside on second. I think it was like the 6th or the 7th. Oh, and he was standing next to Francisco Lindor. I was like, ooh, Aaron Judge is that dude.
He's a big dude.
He's a giant.
He's a giant. Francisco's like, yeah, Aaron. I was like, neck hats
up. It doesn't even look real sometimes when he's standing next to other major league players.
I would have took my chances 3-1 versus 3-0.
You know what's interesting? How, Harry, you play in the NFL. A lot of that, to me, I think, is because a lot of very athletic players who are good at baseball, the road to baseball is less certain, right? Like, you could be so mechanical, all of a sudden you could hit a glitch in AA where, oh, I didn't even know I couldn't hit, you know, a slider like that. And now all of a sudden you're not going to make the major leagues. Yep. Whereas football, you have a pretty good idea where you are.
Yep. Football, basketball, I would even say hockey, too.
Mm. Harry, baseball question for you here. I saw Francisco Lindor do it at the bottom of the first. I typically see players when they slide for bases wear like the mitt on one hand, double mitts, double oven mitts on both hands. Is that are players doing that these days?
I don't think it's common for players to do it majority of the time, but it depends on how you're sliding. He feels like he can slide either way, then you wear both.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
Double oven mitts.
Double oven mitts.
Game 2, by the way, of the Subway Series, will be a hot ticket tonight. Unfortunately, the Mets have the pitching matchup again. Hot tickets is brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seat Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live.
Good job, Buck.
Damn. Not happy about the result of Game 1. You know what the worst thing is? When the Yankees jumped out to that early lead, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to go to sleep early.
Work in Montgomery.
Then I look at the phone.
Work in Montgomery.
Then I look at the phone. I'm like, I can't go to sleep early. And I wasn't asleep till 11 o'clock.
Working them. You know, complain about coming out in the third. You should have came out early.
Yeah, Montgomery did not have his best day. No. And I like Montgomery, but that was not it. Does the Julio Jones signing, guys, give the Bucs the best receiving core in the NFL? The best receiving core in the NFL. Some people think the Jones signing is no big deal, but not someone on this show.
What?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and X. Harry Douglas in for Key. ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
So the Detroit Pistons yesterday came out on their social media pages and pretty much, you know, reincarnating favorite color schemes from jerseys and talking about they're going to run it back with these like mid-90s teal, you know, Detroit Piston uniforms. And I know a lot of people from Detroit, and I get it, Jerry Stackhouse for me, vision-wise, probably like Jerry Stackhouse, Grant Hill. But to me, like, those, it's nasty.
Yo, you know what, Jay?
I don't like it. It doesn't...
Not only is it not the best-looking thing of all time, I asked my producer on This Just In, Tom DeCourty, yesterday. He's a big Pistons fan, Detroit guy. And I'm like, so you must be loving the throwbacks, right? Because usually fans of a team like the three. He's like, no. Nah. He's like, that era really was in between championships.
Oh.
So, like, if the aesthetic value's not there, right, and it doesn't represent the championships, what's the real point?
I don't. They're not aesthetically pleasing to me.
They make me throw up.
It's
is that a bad thing?
Yes, what are teams throw up?
What like, are teams I, with a teal jersey like Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
And those are terrible.
Who else?
I think those might be the only two.
Only two?
Devil Rays, would you? Or the Rays, would you say? I'm trying to think.
Hornets
like,
count?
Hornets, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, Hornets yeah. count.
And those are horrible.
Those are, oh.
See, so anything that has teal in it, nothing, no. There's nothing positive about it.
No.
So why would you even want to wear those?
I don't know. It's just.
Like, I like the old Detroit Piston uniforms. Like, that's what
classics.
I like. Classics. Yeah.
Yeah, the classics.
Like, yeah, I don't know. You got a Mets jersey on. Those are clown colors right there. Bright blue and orange. Yeah. Come on, man.
Clowns that are winners.
Ooh.
Clowns
that are winners last night.
Yankees, dignified, pinstripes, dark blue. Everyone imitates the jersey. Come on, you know, that's the way to go.
Sure. This. You could talk about that all you
ridiculous.
Want. You know, you could
no
shame.
Name on the back.
That's your
no name on the back this of Yankees jersey, just
came,
the number.
I came into the studio. This is where you know Max has not had his coffee yet. I came into the studio, and I got my jersey on that has my name on the back, and he's like, Mets, you're rocking a Trevor Williams jersey. I said, come
did not
dummy.
Have my
I am him. This is my name on the back, Trevor Williams.
It was hilarious. And Max was like, well, is that such and such? And I'm looking at Max like,
Max,
I am him you, means Max? This is me, I my am name. Him.
Well, here's the problem. When the Yankees, so I had to put the game back on because the Mets were coming back, but the Yankees had chances. So I watched, so I finished the game. Now I'm mad, you know. Tomorrow's going to be the worst. Hoping Jay wouldn't wear a Mets jersey to work. Of course he did. And you know, so like I'm not asleep till almost 11 o'clock. I get up at 3:30. Well, that's two nights in a row. I don't sleep.
I slept 4 hours.
I had to come in and talk sports with my friends.
With my boys.
I had to come in and be on TV and talk sports.
It's so hard for me.
Max, where's my meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Keith, what we're about to find out in this next series for me in the Eastern Conference, like Man in the Arena, like that whole, like Shibago, like that is.
Shibago.
Yeah.
I'm into Shibago.
Yeah, it happened again.
I'm into Shibago. Like a shebang, but not exactly a shebang, a whole bag of shebang. Yeah, Shibago.
It was a Shibago.
Not a Shibago. That's the whole bag. A Shibago is like a debacle. You change the pronunciation and the meaning.
Whatever, I was making the whole a joke deal. With Jay.
It was an absolute Shibago for the Suns in Game 7. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and Harry Douglas is in for Key today. Jay is now the most celebrated Mets fan. He's like the Spike Lee of the Mets now, for the way Spike Lee is for the Knicks. They have like no fans.
I'll take it.
Can we get a shot of Jay's shoes, a.k.a. those Bozo Clown shoes?
Wow.
Big feet.
So now we're into name calling.
He did break up the orange with the Mets orange.
No, it's dope though, but they're big though. I like the shoes, Jay. That's what I'm trying to give you. The shoes.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that was
Harry
a
could fit both
compliment.
feet in there.
Both feet.
Okay, grandma. Okay, grandma.
I said both feet.
Okay, grandma.
Well, there are two of them after all. Does Julio Jones with both feet?
Both feet.
Give the Bucks the best receiving core in the NFL, Harry Douglas.
No, I can't sit up here and say because they signed Julio Jones that gives them the best receiving core. Number one, when you look at a guy like Chris Godwin, he's coming off of ACL. He has to get healthy. Julio Jones, in the last 2 years, he's played 19 games. He has to be healthy. But don't by any means, don't think he's not going to be valuable. Tom Brady is not calling vouching for a guy like Julio Jones to come to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if he thinks he's washed or he's finished.
Brady got plans for him in the moment of truth, too.
All day.
Like when he needs him, he's going to be there
100%.
For him.
100%. But when I look at the NFL, you got to look at teams like the Cincinnati Bengals, who I think has the best skill position players in the National Football League. You look at teams.
All right, so that's one. Cincinnati, ahead of them. Who else?
You look at the Rams and what they've been able to do. Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, Van Jefferson. And you could even throw in Higbee at the tight end because
Do you believe that is better than the Bucs or just as good as the Bucs?
The Rams won the Super Bowl last year, right?
I'm just talking about receiving.
I know, but I'm asking you.
They did.
The receivers played a part in that, right?
They won the Super Bowl, right? They did.
Cooper Kupp won the triple crown, right?
The Rams are better. Okay, Rams, that's two.
Raiders are better.
That's two.
OBJ?
No, the injury on the Bucs.
Godwin, mainly because of Godwin's injury.
If we knew what Godwin is, him and Mike Evans together.
But you have to factor in the injury.
Okay,
because we're talking about right now in the moment.
That's two. Who else we got?
Darren Waller, Devontae Adams, the Raiders.
You look at the Raiders. And then
the Dolphins ain't far off either, man.
But I won't put them up there.
I'm not gonna say
they're not far off.
That's what I said. They're not far off. I didn't say they were above.
You look at the Saints though. The Saints are 4 or 5 deep at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave. Marquez Callaway, who came on last year.
Yeah, but the difference is if Godwin is most of what he was, and he's still a young guy, they have two top end guys, and the Saints got one.
I know, but you asked me who was the best, and I said they aren't the best.
Okay, no, I'm listing. I want to hear the teams that are better. Okay. Where do they rank? In other words. Saints, I don't know.
I would put Cincinnati 1.
We should have came out with the list. You should be your top 5 receivers.
I would put Cincinnati 1. I would put the Rams 2.
Okay.
I would go with Tampa as being 3.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I would go with...
Will Raiders be 4?
I put the Raiders 4.
What if Gronk comes back for the Bucs?
it's a wrap.
Yeah. Then they have the best.
Oh, it's a wrap.
Because they got the red zone guy, and they added Julio as their third receiver.
But we can't talk like Cameron Brate is terrible, and then they just signed Kyle Rudolph as well. So
Rudolph didn't do much.
I know, but I mean.
Hey, can I say something, too?
I mean, he had Daniel Jones thrown to him.
On the whole Julio Jones thing, a lot of people were saying kind of washed. I started hearing that word associated with Julio Jones last year. But, like, I don't think this man is washed at all.
No.
I think he was underutilized. And, obviously, injury. But you talk about run-first offense and the way the Tennessee Titans like to play.
And just think about this. If today you're Julio Jones, you're like, yo, I just went from Ryan Tannehill to Tom Brady.
The greatest of all time.
Things are about to change. Like, I'm about to be utilized properly.
And I'm the third option on this team when Godwin gets back. If Gronk comes back, he'll be the fourth option. If Julio Jones is, it's like overkill. Yeah. Look, and by the way, washed is different. I think the downside is different than washed. Julio Jones is clearly not what he once was, but that's a long way to come. He has a lot of runway coming
down.
Can
I say this, though?
Yeah.
In 2020, which was just 2 years ago, right? Julio Jones played 9 games, 51 receptions, 771 yards.
The numbers were stupid, yeah.
Now, the touchdowns was down, but granted, it is what it is.
That's Matt Ryan. Yeah.
771 yards in 9 games.
That's Matt Ryan, right?
And that's the way you use him.
Got to utilize him.
When you had the OC there that you needed, he was catching all the touchdowns. And the offense, remember when the Falcons' offense, it was like, the league is going to have to deal with this for the foreseeable future. They lose the brains behind the offense, and it hasn't been the same since then. Right? I mean, it hasn't been. Meantime, you played with Julio Jones in Atlanta, Harry. So take us inside. What does he bring to Tampa?
First of all, it's not going to be any drama with Julio. He's a guy, he's laid back, he's chilled, he's relaxed. But the way he plays the game and the knowledge that he has and the experience that he has, you're going to get an ultimate pro. You're going to get a guy that we know when he goes out there and lines up, he can make plays for you. And that's what Tom Brady was seeing. Tom Brady's not making that phone call if he does not think Julio Jones can come to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and help them possibly get over the hump. Because you look at today's game, teams better have 3, 4, 5 DBs in their secondary. Mm-hmm. And not just Rudy Poo guys that can actually cover and give you a chance to defend and play well. Because if you don't, you can have a guy like a Julio Jones matched up on your third or fourth guy. If I'm Tom Brady, I'm taking that matchup all day. All day long.
When I think about Julio at his best, I think of like, I'm not saying these guys are better than, let's say, Randy Moss or Jerry Rice, right? Mm-hmm. Those guys are different. But when I think of a perfect receiver, like he checks every box. Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones. Julio Jones had size, speed, routes, hands,
agility. Way he sinks his hips to get in and out of breaks, it's just like a guy the size of Tyreek Hill.
It was
the explosion, the strength.
And then locker room guy, he was the guy, right? Yeah, like he was solid.
Yeah, he's cool, man. He was chill. You're not going to have off-the-field issues with who. He goes about his business and handles his business every day. That's what you're going to get.
That's what you're looking for, man. All right. ESPN analyst Lewis Riddick had things to say about this, but I ran out of time, so you're not going to hear it. So Aaron Rodgers arrives for the Packers training camp looking like Cameron Poe in Con Air. We're going to get into it. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, Harry Douglas, ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas, in for Key, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Aaron Rodgers showed up at Packers camp. Everyone was talking about Nicolas Cage. How about Cameron Poe and Con Air? I don't know what that is.
He showed up, looked like somebody's uncle. He had the tank top tucked in and everything.
What is going on?
You think at a certain point, certain people will wake up and realize that that look is not never was happening, not happening now, not going to happen in the future.
Have you never seen Con Air?
No. Never saw Con Air.
You've never seen Con Air?
Oh, look at it. Look at
A-Rod. So you wouldn't get the reference.
Wait, I mean, you don't know who Campo is?
Correct.
A-Rod has been working out.
I've missed certain movies.
You can tell he's been working out.
I've seen a billion movies in my life. I've missed certain ones. And I'm not now going to go sit down and watch Con.
Why was it in slow-mo? Hold on, can we go back to a Wrangler jeans commercial?
Did he rub the hair back too?
Oh, yeah, he did it.
what's wrong with the hair?
Well,
James, on some people it looks better than on others.
It looks way better on him.
What's wrong with the hair?
James, it fits your look. Let's put it that way. Not everyone can take a baldy. He brushed his hair back. Some people can't.
This is like a backhand compliment.
This is not.
I don't know.
I'm him and I know.
Viral. What world are we living in?
This is not the look for Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion.
And then Pat McAfee. See? There you go.
Yeah.
Poe.
It's a bad look.
Poe.
You don't know who Poe is?
It's awful. It's terrible. It's ugly.
I can't believe you've never seen Con Air.
I wouldn't say it's awful. You are the worst movie watcher of all time.
I've seen. I'm a cinephile. But I'm not going to watch Con Air.
Best Nicolas Cage movies. National Treasure.
Okay, let me
one.
See. I haven't seen The Rock. I haven't seen Con Air.
National Treasure
cannot
be number one.
Have you seen Gone in 60 Seconds?
Gone in 60 Seconds. I know you've seen Gone in 60 Seconds.
Why is this an anonymous KJM producer? Put your name on it. I have problems with the word anonymous. National Treasure is not number one.
I have not seen a lot of Nicolas Cage movies.
Put an address on it, man.
Gone in 60 Seconds, number one.
So listen, some movie stars, their brand tells you this is the type of movie you want to see. Like, let me give an example. When Arnold Schwarzenegger was a movie star, when Schwarzenegger came out in something, I was going to
have
see
you ever
it.
Seen it.
Total Recall.
Max.
Come on,
Big
Max.
Honey,
have you ever seen it?
Available. Max is like, what?
No.
You've never seen.
What movie?
Nicolas Cage was never the dude to get me in the movie theater. Sometimes I might go see a movie he was in it.
No, stop.
Face Off?
No, stop trying to.
Yeah, Face Off I saw, but that's because of John Woo.
Can you stop talking over me, please? Can we stop doing this?
One thing is.
For a man, don't you dare. You're a child. You are a child. For a guy that's an encyclopedia of knowledge.
Yes.
How do you not watch movies?
I do watch movies.
But you don't. You haven't seen any of the. Have you seen any of the top five Nicolas Cage movies? According to an anonymous KJM producer,
I don't have infinite time. And Nicolas Cage, as I'm trying to explain, was not his brand. Did not get me in movies because I thought most of his movies weren't very good.
Well, I can understand what Max is coming from on that. Now I have seen Gone in 60 Seconds. I have seen the Spider-Man one.
Con Air.
I have seen Con Air.
Okay, yes.
Like I've seen three of the movies on there.
Yes.
Here are the action stars that would get me in.
But
flicks.
Nicolas Cage isn't that,
like,
that guy for me.
Schwarzenegger was number one.
That guy,
right? I would say like Bruce Willis was in a lot of great because the
Die Hard
franchises,
Die Hard,
right?
Yep.
I'll tell you one who always in good flicks: Keanu Reeves. Nicolas Cage
gets the films that
Keanu Reeves passes on. I think that's how it works because of all those
Sounds
kinds of
right.
movies, Keanu Reeves he's in the
Sounds
ones you want
right.
to see.
Best
right.
Keanu Reeves movie.
I mean, he's in so many.
No,
The Matrix, maybe the first one.
Okay,
it's pretty good, right? Mm. What about John Wick? Hilarious. How
I
about
like all,
John Wick?
Every, I like every John Wick.
Remember Dead Presidents? That was Keanu Reeves, right? Back
Dead
in the day.
What?
That was him in that one?
Not Dead Presidents. No, sorry, not Dead Presidents. Because they put it was called. It was they robbed banks with the masks of Dead Presidents on. It wasn't Dead Presidents though. That was a great flick, but it wasn't Dead Presidents.
I'm trying to think of that. 47
Ronin. I like.
I love movies.
What else? A lot of Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is that dude.
Oh,
right?
You're talking about the movie. I'm drawing a blank on it, where he was with all the surfer guys.
Yes.
Yeah, that was. And he was a
great
high school quarterback.
I'd like to see that at the end of high school.
Yeah, what is that?
Point Break?
Point Break.
Point Break.
Keanu Reeves been in a whole gang of movies.
Yeah.
I don't know why I forgot
but
about
Nick,
Point Break.
But in that, in some guys' brands, and it's interesting the way movies work and when people talk about brands and all this stuff, do you go see it because the actor's so good? No. They have something about them that's popular. So they get to choose who they work with. And the good ones, the smart ones, work with the best directors and writers. So their brand gets very strong and it tells you, oh, he's in a movie, I want to go see it. To me, Nicolas Cage's brand was never strong enough that I'm going to go see a movie because Nicolas Cage is
That's understandable.
It.
My favorite is Denzel.
Huh? Denzel, right.
Give me
perfect
my money,
example.
Jake. I need my money.
Denzel would get me in the movies because he was always
shoot
in great
program,
movies.
Jake.
Yeah, I got it. But
I'm
like,
singing all the other Pelican Bay.
You guys, I'm with you.
All of you.
You act like...
Shoot program, been, Jake.
Why do you make your face like that? You get real Denzel.
Harry, who, what was the revenge movie?
My dog Denzel
what was the revenge movie from like 5 years ago that Denzel was in? He was in one of those
movies.
Revenge
movies.
Yeah, he was in one of those Liam Neeson type movies.
Like The Equalizer?
The Equalizer.
Oh, Equalizer.
Yeah, The Equalizer.
Which one? The first one or the second one? Yeah. I like both.
The first one, yeah. The first one came out way back in the
day. They have an Equalizer too. Oh, yeah, they do have an Equalizer.
I watched The Equalizer tonight. I got drafted.
By the way, Denzel Washington's son
Equalizer
does a great job of acting as well.
Oh, man, I'm old.
No, wait, Equalizer.
The night you got drafted? No way.
Let's find out.
The Equalizer didn't come out.
No, Jay. It didn't come out when you got drafted. That was all the way back in 82.
4 to 8 years ago.
No,
that was in 82, Jay.
Was it? Was it? I'm trying to remember because I watched Denzel.
Was it? I was drafted in 82.
I saw Jay's draft on UHF. Kids don't even know what that is.
No, I messed up on that one. I thought it was. It was another.
Highlight tapes were on cassettes.
Yeah. Another Denzel Washington movie.
VHS, I mean.
Equalizer 2 was his first sequel. Wow.
First sequel.
Yeah. Who just got in my ear? And someone just said that. Shannon just said that.
Yes.
Did he say
producer.
That on the air or just in my
our
ear?
Our new producer.
I told you in your ear. Yeah.
All right, very good.
Denzel's
yeah.
first sequel.
Like, as I was saying, because I realized it just now.
Because you're so brilliant.
That was his first. That was his first sequel.
I need my money, Max. I need my money.
Liam Neeson's. That Key and Peele skit was maybe their best skit. Liam Neeson's. Yeah, you never seen that Key and Peele skit?
I. First off, Liam Neeson, I love him. I like him as an actor, but like I don't go to movie theaters. Like it's more like casual. Okay, it's here. I'll watch it at home.
Liam Neeson, like, anytime, yeah. They got the formula with that dude.
I literally,
you
know,
mess with his family, he's coming to get you.
Everyone.
Yep. Everyone. And that's the same thing with The Equalizer. I'll go, just like you like Gladiator, you like the farmer who's put upon and then something bad happens to the family and now he has to go to war with the opposing. That's the Patriot was the same movie. They got five movies just like it.
Even
same
new
thing
one.
With the revenge movie, Equalizer.
Liam Neeson, Memory, the new movie, Blacklight, The Marksman. I swear, they're all the same.
Taken.
They're all the same.
Taken.
It feels like
Taken 2?
Taken 2. Taken 3. They're all the same.
All right.
The first Taken was the bomb, though.
I have a set of skills.
I'm cool on both. I got a question for you, Jay.
Yeah.
What would be your clothing of choice for if you had to go up to, first day of camp? What are you wearing?
Clothing of choice for
scintillating
your first day
radio.
Of
that,
first
what
day
made you camp. Think of that question?
Like basketball camp, like your first day of training camp? Basketball?
What are you wearing? Like Aaron Rodgers came in with the Wranglers on Cam Poe. What are you wearing to the first day of camp?
I'm not doing a slow-mo walkthrough on my first day of camp.
He's not growing his hair long. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need to grow my hair long. My bank account's good, Max.
That's true. He's not going to grow his hair long. It's a choice by Jay. Jay, you should grow whatever you have all along and see what happens.
Just Rogaine, all of a sudden now you want to talk about
Rogaine.
Yeah.
I'm using Rogaine. I'm rubbing it in my chest, apparently, because I got a problem as I get older.
You grizzly bear, you.
To this segment?
You grizzly bear, you, Max.
Listen, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Can we talk a little sports? A little sports. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Harry, I feel like they've been chasing their tails since they drafted his replacement. That team was on the brink of going over the top. And instead of pushing it over the top, they planned for the future.
Yeah.
Since then, they have to chase the losses, right? Including now, Devontae Adams.
Yeah.
But the clock is ticking on Aaron Rodgers. Is it Super Bowl or bust? How many years does he have to get this done? Can they win the Super Bowl this year?
Well, I think whenever you talk about, especially a guy like Aaron Rodgers, back-to-back MVP winner, right now, the best quarterback in the National Football League. Overall, we know Tom Brady is the GOAT, but when you look at all the intangibles that Aaron Rodgers had, I believe that it is Super Bowl or bust for the Green Bay Packers. Now, I understand they don't have Devontae Adams, but they're going to lean a lot more on their run game this year. A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones do a lot of things with both of them coming out of the backfield. Robert Tonyan, he's going to be coming back off of ACL surgery. The key thing is Elgton Jenkins, you're getting him back. Runyon, he's going to be back on that offensive line. Bakhtiari, he has to be healthy. He's a key piece to all this. Do I think it's going to be a big deal? Yes and no.
What'd you call him? Wait, that's not his name.
How do you pronounce
Bakhtiari.
His name? Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari.
There you go.
I don't know. Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari would be easier for me. Bakhtiari, the K and the T are too close together.
Is that what you meant?
McIntyre.
He's fine.
When their O-line is healthy, same old story with the Packers. It's elite, but it's not always, you know,
but
together.
They're also going to lead on their defense, though. You look at what they did in the draft, drafting Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, two guys from the national championship Georgia team. Eric Stokes, Jair Alexander is going to be healthy this year. Rasul Douglas, my cousin. He's not really my cousin, but I'm going to say so because his last name is Douglas, and he balled out last year.
We do that in the community. It's fine.
Devondre Campbell, that was a steal for them free agent-wise last year, and then they signed him to a longer deal. I think they're going to hone in and lean so more so on their defense this year and their run game.
What's happened
until those wide receivers come up to speed?
I want to get into the root of your question just for 1 minute. Because I heard LeBron talk about this, and it's the way I kind of felt when I was at school. And, you know, not so much my rookie year, but we always get into, like, is it Super Bowl or bust for certain players? Like, as an athlete, I never thought about it was always just a Super Bowl, or it was always an NBA championship, or it was always a national championship.
Me too.
That's always the goal. So for Aaron Rodgers, with what we've seen in the NFC championship games, like, that's always the goal. So every single year, like I think that question is irrelevant.
Well, for
guys like Aaron Rodgers,
from a media standpoint, right? Because now we got to flip on this side of it, though, Jay, because we've been on the athlete side of things. From a media standpoint, and the way fans view things, it is a Super Bowl or bust because it's Aaron Rodgers. We're not
But what I'm saying is, like, I hear what you're saying, but for Aaron Rodgers, every season is
extenuate.
Super Bowl.
But that's
the mindset of the athlete.
Of the athlete, yeah. But it's the same thing.
Oh, of course. But on our side, now that we're in the media, that's not the way we view things.
No, it's talking. There are two different. I see what Harry's saying. On the one hand, from the athlete's point of view, every year might be your last, right? Like, you have to deal with the right now.
Correct.
So you have certain motivations and goals. But the story, not from the point of view of the character, but from the point of view of the observer, the reader of the story and of history, right? And the media helps or thinks we try, at least, the attempt is to tell the story as it's happening and ask the questions what's going to happen. So given the fact, given his age, given how much time he has left, given the history of the franchise for which he plays, the quarterback who came right before him, the level at which he played, the expectations for where he would land among the all-time greats once upon a time, given the way he's played in the playoffs in recent years, the decisions the franchise has made recently in the draft, all those events and facts conspire to create for Aaron Rodgers at this point in his life a very different Super Bowl or bust thing than for some young quarterback on some other team.
Well, I wasn't talking about other teams. I was talking about specifically Aaron Rodgers, and I feel like it's always Super Bowl or bust for Aaron Rodgers.
No, because there were earlier in his career, for example, there were seasons where he was balling out of control.
I'm not talking about like his first like five. I'm talking about like every year over the past like four.
Yeah,
five
let's
years.
Take 5 years.
Oh yeah, it's always been Super Bowl or bust, but
especially the last three.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When they've been 13-3 all three.
So
because
you asked the question, is it now Super Bowl or bust, Max? And I'm like, well, the past 3-4 years, it's always been Super Bowl or bust.
No, not quite to me. There were a couple. I'd say in the last 4 or 5 years, there were probably two where it was like, man, that's a bust if you don't win the Super Bowl. But even then, we never really looked at the Packers and thought that's the best roster in the NFC. We thought it's a good enough roster that since they have Aaron Rodgers, they're among the Super Bowl favorites. But not always did we pick them. 1 or 2 years, they were a hot pick, and he came up short. But Jay, that puts even more pressure on the Super Bowl or bust for him this year because he hasn't played as well in the playoffs when they've had a shot.
Because Tom Brady is
in the conference
I don't
now.
Think that puts pressure on him. Well, I think pressure is media manufactured because there will be storylines that people try to use. Oh, you didn't get it. But for Aaron Rodgers, he just got his bag. He understands what time it is. There's a new cast of characters coming in offensively. But like
you're thinking from the point of view of the athlete. I don't mean pressure that Aaron Rodgers is feeling. I'm talking about when we tell the story of this era, what was that character in the story facing at that moment? What story would we tell? And the higher the stakes, his place among the greats will fall. He was.
But he recognized, I hear. But the stakes are always high for Aaron Rodgers.
Higher now than they have ever been.
I will say this: when Matt LaFleur went as their head coach, I didn't think it was a Super Bowl bust for the Green Bay Packers because it's a new coach. That Shanahan offense usually takes 2 years to really get going. Now, after they went 13-3, you go 13-3. That last year, this year.
Tom Brady's in the conference. He's going to see you in the NFC Championship game for the first time ever. You can't say, oh, it's Belichick. He's in the AFC. I don't worry about it. And he gets by you, right? Now the next year, oh, you can't let Tom Brady get by you again, right? You got to do Garoppolo got him?
His first year in the conference, wins the Super Bowl, then he won the championship game.
It was on Rodgers.
It was on Rodgers. I hear you.
Yeah, so that's why it's not the same.
But don't you think, I'm just going to put this in perspective, because I hear what you, I hear the natural ascending nature to the conversation and how it's building, right? But don't you think since Aaron Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, that for the way people have spoken about him, I'm just putting it in perspective, right, about Aaron, about his natural talent. He's one of the most talented quarterbacks maybe the game of football has ever seen, that he started to feel that type of pressure, like when you get number two, when you go get number three, Tom Brady. So it's always been around. Maybe now it's escalated because now there's more at stake, but there's always been pressure.
Well, it's interesting what you're saying because in a way, it's a different kind of pressure now because the ship, the GOAT ship has sailed. 5 years ago, you're like, if Rodgers does this and does this, even if he winds up with half the number of Super Bowls, you might think he's the GOAT because his talent is so high. That didn't happen. And in fact, Brady kept adding to the Super Bowl. So in a way, maybe that takes a certain kind of pressure off, but it adds to it because it's like, oh, hold on, time out. You're going to end on one? On one?
But that pressure is never off internally because you have Brett Favre there. You're trying to surpass Brett Favre.
Yes, yes. It's not internal pressure.
Can I give y'all a secret, though?
Yes.
I'll be honest with you. Aaron Rodgers doesn't care anything about the pressure.
That's what I'm saying. Right.
Like, I agree. He really doesn't. He really doesn't. That's the way he operates.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get a business insurance quote online in as little as 6 months. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese is with us. And there he is in front of Gillette. Look at this guy.
Yes,
this
dude is unbelievable. You did it for us. You did it.
This guy is unbelievable. He will show up. All right.
KJM,
Mike
I did
Reese,
it for
this
you.
This is what I'm talking about. Belichick says he's seen a dramatic improvement from Mac Jones this year, Mike. Why has he been so impressed?
Well, Max, let's start with this. What a great day here at Patriots camp. We got people already lined up at 8 in the morning here. They're going to open up the gates. I've got the construction behind me for those that are watching on TV. The 6 Super Bowl banners in the distance here in the stadium. But why is Bill Belichick so impressed with Mac Jones? He has been flying all over the country to throw with his pass catchers and take his leadership to a higher level here. And what I'm seeing, guys, is Mac Jones is trending toward being a captain on this Patriots team, and a second-year captain is very rare for the Patriots. Mm.
Mike, when you look at Josh McDaniels going to the Las Vegas Raiders to be the head coach, how much of an impact do you think that's going to have on a guy like Mac Jones and his progression from last year to this year?
So I do think it is significant. I mean, you look at it, and they have two coaches, Matt Patricia, the former Lions head coach whose primary background is on defense. He's working with the offensive line, and I've seen him relay some plays in to Mac Jones during practice. You have Joe Judge, the former Giants head coach, working directly with Mac. I've seen him relay some plays in to Mac Jones, and Bill Belichick has been heavily involved with the offense and the practices that I've seen back in the spring. So to me, it's a whole new voice, guys, you know, that's going to be talking to Mac, whether it's all three, one of the three. When I think back to last year, that visual of any time Mac headed to the sideline, he would sit on the bench and right next to him would be Josh McDaniel. So I think developing that chemistry, camaraderie, and trust with another coach is a significant storyline here for the Patriots.
Mike, I'm fascinated by this because you said it would be a new voice, but in reality, there are two new voices, right, in conjunction with Bill Belichick. So how difficult does it make that kind of life for Mac Jones? Because when you can build camaraderie with the individual, that takes time. But now you have a lot of people in your ear. Is it feasible that there are too many cooks in the kitchen?
So it is possible that could be the case. I think what we don't know right now, because Bill Belichick hasn't named an official offensive coordinator, like there's no coordinator in title, it might end up being one voice. It might end up being Bill Belichick who takes the reins of the offense. It might end up being Matt Patricia. It might end up being Joe Judge. That's still sort of developing. And actually, guys, when I'm watching practice, this is the first training camp practice today. That's probably at the top of my list. Like, who's attached at the hip with Mac? And is it all three? Is it one of them? Does one sort of separate as time passes by? I do think that's a fair thing to watch for here with the Patriots, and I have it as my top storyline.
All right, that's Mike Reese, ladies and gentlemen. As always, this dude, you get the report right. It's unbelievable.
Mike, I was going to tell you, if you weren't in front of Gillette Stadium, I was not going to talk to you.
Mike has, there's no reason this time of morning to be at Gillette. We just like the way it looks. And Mike Reese shows up. Yes, Mike.
Max, we have to be here. I mean, this is the first day of most training camp practices around the NFL. We have reporters all here at ESPN with every team. Mike. We need to bring you the flavor.
Right.
This is what we do at ESPN.
Right, exactly. Mike, don't ruin it. I'm giving you extra credit. I'm saying that you're the only one who does it. Don't spread it. Look at this team player. He's pointing. He never points to himself. He's giving. He's
not
sharing the
me,
credit.
It's about us, Max.
That's a quarterback. That's who should be a gift. Mac Jones doesn't work out.
Quarterback.
You got Mike Reese. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Interesting. So,
Harry, that's a quarterback. I mean, I know it could come down to Bill Belichick, but I mean, between Patricia, Joe Judge, it's a lot of people kind of.
But they had a lot of success when, you know.
And I will say this really quick. You look all the way back Patricia's coaching career, he has been on the offensive side before. A lot of people don't know that, but he has been on the offensive side before.
When they didn't have McDaniels, they didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were winning ridiculous numbers of games every year, making playoff runs.
No, they're going to miss the playoffs.
Whoa. Does Kyler Murray's homework clause say about how the NFL views black quarterbacks? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.